Hey everyone, welcome to Smash Trivia. I'm your host, Smash Trivia John. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram by searching Smash Trivia to follow everything happening with me. I'll be the one with a big old green head in the profile picture. So excited to get into this. This is the Gamma Analysis. Basically, in this series, I'm going to review everything Hulk, all the movies, TV shows, and I also do random other geeky films. Occasionally not so geeky ones too, and I also like to mix things up once in a while by not reviewing anything. Hope you enjoy Smash Trivia Presents The Gamma Analysis. I want to ask everyone listening, if they can please do sign for me. Please share the hell of this podcast with all your friends. If you don't, Hulk will be angry. Now that we have all of that important stuff out of the way, let's smash right into this episode. Hello, my Gamma friends. Today I'm joined by Devin from the House of Ideas podcast. How are you doing, Devin?
I am doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming
on. I'm terrible at intros. But yes, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be on here talking about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I understand being terrible at intros. If I didn't have a script for my intro, I would probably be terrible at it as well. Would you like to quick before we get started on the movies we're gonna be reviewing? Would you like to tell my viewers a bit about your podcast?
Yes. So again, my name is Devin. I have a podcast, one of many, called House of Ideas, where basically each episode, unless otherwise, depending on the guest, but for the most part, each episode, I take one character, mostly Marvel, sometimes DC, and I break it down with a new guest every week. So, for example, I've done episodes on Monica Rambeau. I've done episodes on Jean Grey. And the next group of episodes are going to be coming up in May, I think is when I have season two. I have the Scarlet Witch. And I have a lot of X-Men. That's just, I love X-Men, but of course I also do love the Avengers. And
it'll be a fitting time for it, as I believe like beginning of May or something like that is going to be like when the X-Men 97 show will be airing its finale.
Yes.
So it's a perfect time for those to release.
Oh, most definitely. And soon, with those releases, I plan on doing a breakdown of, the Krakoan Age of the X-Men with two guests. So lots happening over there, which nice. I'm sure I will give a link to John here, and so you can put in his description if he wants. And then if you want to go check it out, it's all on like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all that fun shit for the House of Ideas. So.
Yeah, check out his podcast. It's always fun getting to learn more about these different comic book characters that we love. However, for the episode you were coming out of my podcast, you could have chose to do something superhero related, but you chose two films that I actually absolutely love. The Babysitter films on Netflix. They are. Mm-hmm. Horror comedies and they have the exact kind of tone that I absolutely love for horror movies. I love things like this so much more than any kind of thing that's serious with horror. These films are just hilarious.
Oh no, agreed. They're full camp, and I live for the camp.
Oh yeah.
So when I saw on Twitter that you were looking to do more horror films, and this was one of the ones that you listed, I'm like, oh, got it. Love those. Love those two movies.
Yeah,
hey, say less.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love being able to get my main focus on here is like a lot of geeky films, but I also love I love doing random other little fun films that I can find a good bit to talk about. Mm-hmm. And with these ones, like I felt like there probably wasn't enough to talk about if that we just did one of them, but I think
Yeah.
between the two of them, it's a perfect amount of stuff to talk about. There's a lot of great stuff in these films, and I imagine this review will probably be mostly us just laughing about different things that are in the films that so we enjoyed.
Oh, most definitely, the ridiculousness of it all.
Oh yeah. I one like a callback that all back in the second film that I absolutely loved that they that that I was laughing so much at was when Cole finally Cole hits Robbie Amell in the balls again, and Robbie Amell's just like, "You finally found my dick."
Oh no, yeah, I just finished the second one review too, because it's been a while since I watched it, and yeah, no, that was great.
Honestly, like the second one, it's not nearly as good as the first,
Agreed.
but I still really enjoy it.
Same. It's it has its moments of being real fun, but yeah, it kind of compared to the first one's a little better. But by no means the second one's bad or anything, because it's not. It's just the first one, just a little better. Just a little
Yeah,
better.
I think like the big difference between them that's what caused it to be a bit worse with the second one is with the first one, the director of the two who MCG,
Yeah.
he did not write the first one, but he did write the second one, and it's one of the only things he's ever written. So I'm guessing he just might not be a great writer.
Possibly, because he was on, yeah, he was on the writing team for the second one.
But yeah, like
Or no, yeah, for the second one.
I was looking up and but he so there are only two different things that he's ever written, and one being the Babysitter Killer Queen, and the other is he wrote the story for a TV show in 2002 called Fastlane. But I'm guessing maybe the fact that he has not written much is the reason why it doesn't the second one doesn't come off as well as the first one.
Fair. That
But
that's a fair assessment. Yeah.
one thing with the second one though that I do think is Ink was a fantastic choice is the addition of Jenna Ortega into it. Like
Yes.
I absolutely loved her in the second one.
Oh, absolutely. She is one of the best parts of the second one. She comes in with her introduction into the classroom is so great. It's so stupid. And she just ends it with a, oh yeah, and I'm 9 and I'm late. And they're like, no, you're not, you're on time. No, I'm late as in I haven't had my period. 9 days to be exact.
It's great. She fits it's right in. And so I didn't realize till these viewings of the films, the Babysitter Killer Queen is the first horror film that Jenna Ortega is in it, and at least according to what I could find online, which
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think that's her
and
first horror
like
film,
I th
technically.
like I had thought that she had done more before that, but apparently that was the first one, and it's surprising how well she did in it, and she just was absolutely amazing in it, and I'm glad that it opened up so many doors for her to be in horror after that.
Oh, okay. So it looks like she was in Insidious Chapter 2, but of course she was a child. So I don't know if you could like count that, but damn.
Okay, interesting. And yeah, I want I so I feel like I don't know where to really I start with these films, because there's she's so much great stuff to bring up with them. The character of B is just so fantastic, and
Yeah.
Samara Weaving is absolutely amazing in these. Is all the repeated jokes about why Robbie Amell is shirtless. This is just hilarious.
Yeah.
One character I think some people might find annoying, but I really thought was hilarious in both films is Allison. And Bella Thorne's character,
Yes, love
yeah, like
Allison.
I love her vibe so much, and how she brings a lot of raunchy humor into the films. So there was definitely some without her, but particularly she brings a lot into it.
Oh
It's
yeah.
great.
And
Oh.
Bella Thorne did a fantastic job with the dumb cheerleader trope character, but like the humor, she nailed it. It was she was one of the best part. She was one of the better villains in my opinion that I like the most personally. The other one being God, what's her name?
Sonya?
Yes, Sonya. L yes. I was just like, who? What's the actress? Haname Lee, yes, Sonya, love her.
Oh yeah,
Especially in the
that's
second
great.
one. She gets better in the second one. It's just chef's kiss. Girl dies
One
to girl dies in horrific ways, but yeah,
of
she goes
that
out
like
screaming.
One that really surprised me with how good he is in these films is King Bash as John.
Yes.
Like a lot of times I have people who are online content creators, like even though they're funny online, they don't always translate well
Yeah.
into like actually being actors in films. But he does such a great job at and is absolutely hilarious in these films. I love in the second one where he's like, I'm a beautiful black ghost or something. Like
I've
I
seen a
love
beautiful black ghost. I ain't Casper.
I really love the how he's like he has to point out how good looking he is. That was great. Oh man, and like I also like really enjoyed both the mom and dad characters, but it was played by Leslie Bibb and Ken and Marino. I think they're great as well.
Yeah.
It really surprises me with the second one on Melanie's dad. How that they
Yes.
actually they gave him an actual character instead of just having him be annoying. It's like so like he has a name, he has all this stuff. And if versus the first one, the and obviously he's only in like two scenes, and he and in the cast he's literally just named Melanie's annoying dad.
Yeah.
Oh
Yeah,
man.
that's pretty funny.
Oh yeah. And then also like a small character that's it appears in both that I enjoyed is the school nurse. Is hilarious.
Yes. Most definitely. And I like the fact that it begins with him talking to him as a counselor. He's like, "Yeah, I'm a nurse by day and a counselor as one of my as like one of his side gigs." I thought that was pretty funny.
It's the one thing I really appreciate about the villains in these two films is how even though they're bad guys, they're trying to bring up Cole's self-esteem the whole time.
Yeah, they
I
most
love
definitely
that.
are.
I love that, and like they also try to they also even though they're trying to they successfully kill the kill the let me see the kill Samuel, I think is the sacrifice guy in the I in the first
Yeah.
film. Even though they did that, they were still being nice to him and beforehand, and they were trying to gas him up, and like I just love that aspect of these villains, how much they're like, yeah, we're gonna kill you, but we're gonna try to be, make you feel good about yourself while you, while this is all
Before we do
happening.
it. Yeah. I like that too. It's like, let's give you a little pick me up. Let's make you feel good, happy, give you the self-esteem boost, and then we're gonna slit your throat.
Yep. Oh yeah, it's great.
Especially Robbie
Yeah,
or Max.
yeah,
Sorry, Max.
Max. It's amazing how much he's tried to I to oh boost it was Cole's self-esteem. It's absolutely hilarious. Like he's like, I'm not even mad you killed me. I like you even more because of that. And now and he's also not mad, but mad that Cole dooms him to hell, but all because
Yes.
he had sex.
He
Great.
was deflowered. He was tainted. And B knew it. That was the greatest part.
Oh yeah, oh man, it really saddens me that we haven't gotten a third one of these yet. These villains.
Supposedly, from what I have read and found around abouts on the web, he is working on a third one, but he's looking for a third, I guess a third actor, a third star actor. And I was like, can you hurry up? Because I want a third one.
No, like it's been 4 years since Killer Queen came out. Like, why is this taking so long?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I do actually though. Oh, have three actors in mind that I think would fit really well into this franchise that as I would love to see for a third film. One of them since the Scream franchise has fired Iron Melissa Barrera, have her reunite with Jenna Ortega as for our the third babysitter film. I think would be great.
That would be great. I could second that.
And another one on being a Jenna Ortega's co-star from are from the Wednesday show, which is Emma
Yes.
Myers, Iris, who played Enid.
Yes. She'd be great. Enid would be great.
And then finally, my third one on is Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard. Huh.
I think he could be a really fun in this franchise.
Oh no, yeah, I didn't think about putting Matthew Lillard in here. That would be fun.
Like if
I would watch
if
that.
we like if we ever actually went down into hell and hell, he could be the person playing the devil for it. I think that would be great.
Oh, I would pay money to see that. I mean, I pay money to Netflix, but I would pay money directly to the director to be like, can I see that? Please.
Oh yeah, it would be great. I want the third one of these so bad.
So do I. I need it. It needs to be done. Like get to it, Netflix and MCG. Just get to it. I need it now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, now.
Yeah, and like, please don't make us wait any more years for this. This is it's crazy how many years it's been.
Yeah, most definitely. At this point, I take anything.
And the longer you wait, the harder it's going to be to make because because all these actors are getting bigger in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like when Jenna Ortega was in this, as she was not that very big. Now she's one of the most massive actresses in Hollywood, and same with to a lesser extent, but with same with Samara Weaving. She's had a lot of success since then, and well, like Robbie Amell has had massive success in Hollywood since then. Like, the longer you wait, the harder it's gonna be to make. So just please, just make it already.
Yeah, and with Judah Lewis, the guy who plays the main character, he was just in recently a film called Suitable Flesh. It's a horror film for Shudder. So
I want to
he's.
watch that film sometime. I it
Oh, no,
looks like
same.
it's something that I'll enjoy.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either, but I'm like, this looks interesting, and it's based off of the story of The Thing on the Doorstep from H.P. Lovecraft, which I'm a Lovecraft head, so I need to watch that. But nonetheless.
I think one thing with the second film that I definitely did not really like is having Melanie be bad, because I like it didn't really it just it didn't feel like that was actually something that was set up. It just felt like it came out of nowhere that she did that. And I feel like if your friend had dealt with this thing, and that would have been a deterrent for her to join up.
Yeah, agree. Because it was out of the blue. It was fun. I loved it. But I wish there was like an in-between movie or like a spin-off from Melanie and how she decided to get into this cult, devilish cult mess.
And like also like with the like so we see that B is who convinced her to join up into this. But they're saying that B cares a lot about Cole. Why would she try if she cares about Cole, why would she try and manipulate the one person that Cole really likes still into joining this? Like that's not gonna make things better for Cole.
Yeah, it's really not. Unless she thought that she wasn't going to get him back into the mess.
Oh no, it's like that was just one thing I'd enjoy. And also I would have rather there be a lot more of B in the sequel than
Yeah.
just a couple scenes at the end.
Well, by then she was already kind of a big name with a bunch of she'd done a few other bigger films, Ready or Not. Gosh, what else?
It really like you mentioned like wanting to have an in-between film. Like it like I'm really interested in, since unlike the other villains, she didn't die. So I want to know what she's been doing all these years since the first film, since at the very end of the first film, as a post-credit scene, we see her or get up and attack one of the officers and presumably escape from Cole's house. So I'm very interested in, what has she been up to all this time?
Who knows? Because I'm assuming she's not human. She's a demon. I'm assuming, with what we found out in the second one, that she made a deal with a demon. So I'm assuming she became one, and that's why she's been going around kind of doing what that nurse did with her and being like, will you do anything for your dream? So I'm assuming she became
Maybe.
a demon of some sort.
Maybe. That can make sense.
She can't technically die, well, except for what happens in the second one,
Though I
but
think what they're trying to say with what happens at the end of the second one is that even though they all burned up and were sent back down to hell, they're able to come back again in 2 years,
yeah.
which at this point it won't have been 2 years when they come back, but unless they.
I think it'd be funny that if the film comes out, say in, it'd be 6 years past, say it'd be 6 years, right? And it is every 2 years they come back, and this is like what, obviously time in the future, set in the future, from the 2020, and they're back again 2 years after the last time they came, and it's just a story of them. We've handled them once, we've handled them twice, we've handled them three times. This is like the fourth time we've dealt with them, and they're back again.
I'm interested where which way they'll be going for a third one of our is the villains going to be trying to go after somebody else and else and maybe Cole and Phoebe have to save that other person, Or the reason I say possibly going after someone else is because they obviously can't do the ritual anymore with Cole.
Yeah.
Or will they maybe just say fuck it, okay, we don't care about the ritual. We just want revenge against Cole, and they just keep going after Cole.
Or depending on how far in the future it goes, we wait. What if Cole and Phoebe have a kid? Say this movie comes out in like 5 years. What if they have a kid
That could be interesting.
and they go after his kid?
That could definitely be interesting. I imagine at that point the Cole is going to have that his house is completely a like filled with security and booby traps. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's got which would be a fun like they you know. I think they've been out for a long time. I'm though there are also people have been people who don't want it, but I with the Home Alone franchise eyes, people have wanted to see like a scary version of Kevin McAllister as an adult.
Yeah.
This could kind of be a version of doing something like that. That but with this franchise version, I think that'll be, I. That would be a really fun thing to see.
Yeah, most definitely.
The I'm trying to think. I love all the moments of Allison complaining about how she got shot in the
Twice, both movies she
boob.
got hit in the boob.
And how she's like how when Cole defends himself against her, she's like, "Hey, you pervert!" because as he hit her in the boob, which honestly, if I were him, I'd probably do the same thing because it makes sense. That's going to hurt her the most.
Yeah, I mean, in the second film, she did it to herself
Yeah.
because she was firing off a bullet while surrounded by rocks, so it bounced off rocks and shot her in
Oh
the
yeah,
boob.
I love in the second film how she just gets it's stuck between two rocks and they just
Yeah, it was
pull
gross.
her down like
They just pull her down.
I thought that was a really a great death scene.
Yeah, and you see her neck stretch and shit, and I'm like, that's disgusting, but it's so funny and
Yeah, and then
ridiculous.
Anya just getting hit by that surfboard.
Yeah, but it took forever for Sonya to die because she just won't go down. I mean, in the first one, she was set on fire or she exploded, but like, yeah.
It's great. I think it's like probably. Only one death in either film that I don't like and that's Max's death in the first one.
Yeah, the hanging of
Like
them.
yeah, like instead of going I think instead of them going for like or for this thing that is sadly a real life thing that some people do
Yeah.
they should have just like with all the other deaths should have been like we're gonna go with something creative and funny. I don't think that anyone probably looked at that and was like, that's funny.
That's fair.
Yeah,
Yeah.
most of the deaths of the films are just absolutely amazing. Like Max in the second one has a great death with
Yeah,
the
propeller.
propeller.
The boat propeller to the face.
And not but then before right before that the silly string he's like, silly string, that's weak.
Silly string is flammable.
Flammable, yeah. Oh man.
And for those of you listening, for a brief summary of the films, if you're confused, if you have not watched them, please do yourself a favor and do it on Netflix. But
Yeah.
basically, in the first one, it's a babysitting this preteen kid, gets all her friends involved, and they're all a cult, and they try to kill him because he's a virgin, obviously, he's a preteen. And then they all die. Second one, obviously, except for B. And then the second one, they all come back. He's a, in high school, what, sophomore, junior?
Junior, I think he said.
Junior? And People think he's crazy. They come back. It finds out his friend from the first one, his childhood friend, is in on it. He's crazy. It's like, hi, they try to kill him. Oh, because he's a virgin. It doesn't work. He gets
Oh.
deflowered, and then they all die. They go drag back to hell.
You say like with your summary of the first one of like they try to kill him because he's a virgin.
We'll try to get his
I
blood.
don't, yeah, like that's why I'm actually like interested. Do you think that had he not had he not messed with their plans, do you think he would have died that night? I don't think he would have. I think he if he hadn't decided to stay up late and try to catch her having sex, I think that he would have just had some blood taken and that and he would have just never known and he wouldn't have died. Like I don't think they were actually wanting to kill him
Well,
until he
true.
messed with things. It's
Yeah.
it's an interesting I think like that was something I was thinking about while watching him. I was like, do they or do they not? Because I'm not sure.
Well, they try to kill him. I mean,
They
that's a good.
definitely try
Well,
to
I mean,
kill him
well, yeah.
afterwards, but I'm
Yeah,
but I mean
afterwards.
if he hadn't messed with
I
them.
don't know. I don't. Th I honestly, I don't think they would, because I don't think B would have done that. So I think, yeah, they would have, because
I
he would have
think.
been out cold. They would have took his blood and probably killed the guy, cleaned up the mess, and all been out before his parents got home.
Yeah, like I do think I think everything like at the beginning of the film, I think between Ian Cole and B is genuine. It's not
Yeah.
her putting on an act. One thing I did find funny I in the first one that kind of shows her evil side I before it actually before we get to all the cult stuff is. There's a clear difference in how in when the when Cole and OMB are reenacting those scenes from the projector. There's a clear difference of how you could how Cole looks versus B. Like it feels like you can see genuine scariness is on B's face, which shows how good of an actor she is versus Cole or Cole is like it doesn't like you can't really see anything actually scary with him him he just it, and no, this isn't even like a complaint on his real life actor. I mean the character of Cole is not a good actor, and versus the versus you can see with B, she is, and she can create an actually genuine looking a scary face is just from those scenes.
Yeah. Ex yeah. No, I agree. Because if you would just took that, drank that, I think she put, yeah, she put something in his drink, but he decided not to take it. He would probably would have been fine. Th but then if he did
Oh
that,
yeah.
we wouldn't have a movie.
Well yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
And it's not like sorry that it doesn't make sense him doing what he did. He is a free teen boy. Of course he's gonna be interested in something like
Yeah.
that. I do think I think it is funny though how he's like he thought they would be having an orgy, but he doesn't know what an orgy is, and is the his description of it. Max responds, "That's actually a pretty good description. Sad people who want to other people to accept them." Damn, that's great. Oh man.
On the gold of the first movie. But Sonya, I just love how weird she is. Of course, that's the same actress as from Pitch Perfect, where she just whispers,
Ah,
"You
I
want to see
didn't
a dead
know that. That's
body?"
cool.
I love that. I love that.
Oh,
But Sonya is, she's a character. She's just so weird and then becomes very unhinged when shit goes south, and she's like, "Fine, I'm gonna fucking kill you." And in the second one, she's like, "I'm done with your shit. I'm going to fucking kill you." with a flamethrower.
And I love how she's how she before the Oak actually tried to kill Cole.
Yeah.
She turns over to the turns over to the guy who is trying to who abuse who's Phoebe. It was just like, die, rapist! And as
Yes.
the flavor at him.
He kills the
Oh, that
man.
was great.
The one kill that she did right.
Yes, like things like that, things like that mixed with how they like try to bring up his Cole's self-esteem, maybe think like, yeah, they're killers, but these people might not be all bad.
Yeah, they
I
might
like
not be
her,
all terrible. I mean, they're
not
terrible
like a
people, but like, not
like
fully.
I can't like like yeah, they're willing to kill people, but they still have morals. They still can care about these care about even the people they're killing. It's
Yeah.
fair.
Would you rather have the person die with some gratification and happiness and fulfillment than just to just kill him in cold blood?
I love how Max is just like, I'm not like the others. I'm not here for this cult stuff. I just want to kill people.
That's psychotic, but at least he's honest about it.
Yeah, and you know how we find out in the second one that part of what made him want to kill people is dealing with Karens,
Yeah.
which kind of understandable.
Yeah, but you know, the Karen did have a point. Why don't you have your fucking shirt on?
That's a good. It is a
And
good
you're dealing with
question.
grease, my dude. Why
Why
don't you have
did
your shirt on?
you it's a really great running joke with the films of him not
Yeah,
having a
your
shirt on,
shirt
like
on for whatever reason.
hey and Cole kept asking that in the first one, and like they give him these responses, and he's like, those don't mean anything, those don't answer the question at all.
He's
Why is
compensating
he shirtless?
for something. I got in the first one, I kind of got the idea before we found out what he was compensating for. I thought he was in the closet.
Ah,
I
interesting.
still kind of think he's in the
He
closet.
could be. He could be. He like either like he could either be gay, or he could be could be bi bi.
Yeah. Because he was
He could
flirting
even
with
be.
what's his name? Was it? I think he was
I don't even know.
Samuel. I think he was like he says. I remember him saying something of the lines of like,
He said he called
lying
him a
that.
stud, I think.
Yeah, but like some of the
That
way
was
he
just.
acts around some of the male characters around in the films, I'm like, oh, side eye,
Though I with
sense.
him, I feel like I though I have no problem with him I'm being
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
gay,
As a bisexual man, of course I have no problem with it.
but I kind of feel like with him, it wasn't actually real flirting always. Always, I think it was for a lot of it, he was just joking around, and he finds the idea of flirting and funny, which
Fair.
leans me towards maybe he might be asexual.
That's an idea, yeah.
And
Didn't think about
I
that.
think that's I think it's I think there's like. Sadly, there's not a lot of characters that are so they that are allowed to be asexual, and that's and
Yeah.
it's nice whenever franchises do actually allow side like that. So I think it would be
Yeah.
cool if they chose Osagawa out like that.
Yes, I get that. Yeah. It would be cool, and it would kind of explain some things when it comes to Max and how he jokes around when he with flirting, like he doesn't take it too seriously, or the fact that he just doesn't seem. Granted, I mean, that's what we're only seeing what the movie sees because we don't really see more of Max's like personal life. So all of this that I'm spewing or that we're talking about is all
Oh yeah.
speculation,
Yeah,
but
definitely.
it would explain a lot if it was like if he was in the Alphabet Mafia, asexual, bisexual, any of the sort
Oh yeah.
or
Yeah,
combination.
anything like I like He's a character who I could see going any way, whether it be him being straight or him being gay, being bi, I or pan or asexual, and I would be absolutely happy with any of them. And it's he doesn't feel like a character where he's like super leaning into anything, and like I think I think like there's only one character where I feel like of the villains who I feel like is it's clearer where he lies, and that is King Bash's character. I think is definitely a straight guy.
Most definitely.
I think he definitely wanted to get with Allison. Another joke from King Bash's character I really enjoyed is him pointing out that happily the second one he didn't die first Earth because he's Earth because we're in a post Jordan Peele horror world. Thought that was a great joke. I with the character of Phoebe, I really enjoyed the Alice idea of her wanting to be Alice and how she had her own little
Rabbit.
rabbit hole in her family's cabin. That was a really cool looking basement area. I would love to go there at some point.
Most definitely.
I did not think in the scenes of the cabin and I did not think we needed need to see a call th accidentally throws piss all over her. That was a little weird, but
I mean, she kind of asked for it by trying to by spooking
no.
him when in the middle of him peeing. So she
True.
had to think that that could possibly happen with her doing that.
Yeah. The let's think. At the beginning of the first film, outside, I think it's funny how Cole really thought he was sneaky as he was sitting in the car with R with B, and he started looking down her chest. He really thought he was sneaky. He was not sneaky at all.
Oh no, he most definitely wasn't.
Like
He tried.
I'm pretty sure she knew what he was doing.
Yeah, most definitely.
I think I really enjoyed with Melanie's dad how much he cares about the car more than her. I think that
Exact,
was
yeah.
hilarious.
And the fact that he didn't seem to give a shit about his arms being chopped off. I was like, bruh, your arm just got chopped off. And she chopped off the other one. I don't think you can
I
ground
feel
her at
like
this
if
point.
yeah, I feel like it. I would have loved if there was like when she was cutting off his arms, if like she was just so obviously he's trying to ground her, like right after chopping the first arm off, she'd be like, try again. Like, just, I think that would have been really funny if I like he's trying to ground her, but she's like, nope, that's not gonna happen. Oh man, dude. Oh, it does. It saddens me, but it makes a sense. The parents even thought he was crazy, because there sadly are a lot of parents like that. Though outside of that, I do think they were pretty decent parents. Hey, what was it? The dad really thought that thought though that John King Bash's character was a good guy up until he just he he's Cole was on the ground and he just grabbed the sword off the wall taking his chance. Hey, I don't.
I was like, oh no, he sees that I'm evil. Because that's not the proper reaction. You don't take a sword off the wall and go after a kid. That's not something you
Oh
do.
yeah. Oh man. Oh, the one thing that with the second one that I thought was very out of place that I didn't really like was the video game fighting thing between a Phoebe and Melanie.
I kind of digged it. I digged it.
I
I thought it was campy.
think I would have liked it if there wasn't if there wasn't Phoebe doing the fireball, because that just was like everything else. I was like, okay, I can suspend my disbelief here, but I like the fireball one. I was just like, she doesn't have superpowers.
No, it's all, I mean, it's none of that was real, but I liked it for the fact it gave Scott Pilgrim vibes, and it also gave Charlie's Angel vibes because MCG directed the first two, the original Charlie's Angels films with Cameron Diaz and stuff. So it kind of gave a callback to that because those fight scenes in those movies were campy, not necessarily the video game vibe, but they were as ridiculous. That fight scene was as ridiculous as those were. So I'm like, okay, there it is.
I can see that.
There's the camp from those movies that he brought into here. I see what he was trying to do.
Yeah, definitely. I think what else is there we always should bring up? Cole's scared this for needles. I feel like if I were him in the scene in the first film where they're actually taking his blood,
Yeah.
I cannot imagine like I'm not afraid of needles. I used to be, but I'm not anymore. But like when I think if I was I actually was like focused on something else, like trying to make sure that they don't notice that I'm awake, I would not be able to stop myself from screaming if someone
No.
stabs something into me,
Yeah, no.
which is surprising that he was able to stop himself like that.
Oh yeah, I couldn't stop myself. I hate needles with a fiery passion. I can get blood work done and stuff, but like, no, you stick a needle in me, you're gonna know that I'm awake because I'm gonna be like, why is there a needle in me?
I get plasma as a way to make money, and I so I've gotten used to needles going in me twice a week, but it's so I haven't I'm not nearly as like scared of needles as I used to be. But so it's but yeah, I used to be really afraid of them, so I have them where I had to completely look away if I ever had to get a shot, and it's I cannot imagine a situation like this. And even still now, even though I'm not afraid of needles going into myself, I actually have more trouble seeing them go into someone else. Like if I'm watching a movie and there's a scene that has a needle going into someone, like I get squirmy from that, but I don't with myself, which is so interesting to me.
I'm like that with needles on movies too, as well as sometimes the gore will get me because I hate the sight of blood,
Understand
but
that.
like I will watch the
I think.
goriest movies. I will just like look away and kind of look through my fingers. I'm like, eh, that's gross. Eh. And I'm like one eye open. Unless it's ridiculous, and then I know it's not real, so
For me, when it comes to blood and gore, or in movies, like if it's ridiculous, then I have no problem with it. If it's
yeah.
actually like if they're like trying to make it look really real, and then I'll have some trouble with it. And I particularly will have trouble with if there is as I've seen where someone is being cut into, so
Oh.
like a medical scene of a scene where having that has gore and blood and stuff like that. Like I will have so much more trouble with something like that than someone getting their head blown off or something.
Yeah.
And that's so it's so interesting to me what causes the causes my brain to be like this thing that is cleanly done and done in a professional fashion and action that's bad, but this
Yeah.
thing of where it's just all of a sudden and blood spurting out of someone, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think like I'm surprised, Ice, if you have trouble sometimes with gore, that these are films that you actually I gravitate towards wanting to talk about.
Wait, I'm sorry.
I said I'm surprised with these films as being such gore heavy ones that honestly they're ones that you wanted to talk about, since you said
Oh,
that you don't do
yeah.
great with gore.
I don't, but I will sit there and I will watch it. But this score is like so ridiculous. It's, but yet it also does kind of have a realism to it in a way. So it kind of gets like a, eh, that's gross, but that's hilarious. So it doesn't really affect me like, say, like Saw.
Yeah, I have not.
I've watched some of the goriest movies, Saw being an example, but that's not the like the I've seen far gorier than that. But I will watch the goriest movies. I will just be like, ew, let me look away for like 2 seconds because that's disgusting.
Yeah, I haven't got myself to watch the Saw movies yet.
Their journey.
And I imagine like you really got to get yourself invested in it to be able to want to binge through them for the first time, because there's so many
Yeah.
of them.
I did that in college with a friend of mine, and she's like, "Do you haven't seen Saw?" I'm like, "Nope." She's like, "We're gonna marathon them through
Oh
them
God.
all." We did it all in one night. We were watching Saw movies until like 2 or 3 in the morning,
Oh
and we
wow.
started at
That
like early afternoon the day before. Yeah, it's a lot.
I can imagine. Oh man. Is there anything else that you really want to talk about with these films?
With these films, let me think. I mean, we talked about the camp of it all. B, the babysitter in question, the leader of the cult, demon. She's a demon. Death scenes.
It's great when the dad finds him at the end of the second film. He's like,
Yes.
Cole, I found the
B, where have you been? Oh, hi.
babysitter.
You raised yourself a fine son. What?
I'm wondering just like him. Where have you been these past few years since we know you were alive?
Exactly. Where the frick have you been? Death scenes, Cole, crazy. He's not crazy. People think he's crazy. Bet childhood friend, psycho, Bella Thorne, great. Act to play Sonya, amazing. Max, fantastic. Loves his being shirtless. I think we hit all the stops. I don't think there's, I just hope there's a third one.
Obviously. I would though want to ask you, since I gave three actors that I would love to see join the franchise for a third one. Are there any actors or actresses that you would like to see join in for a third one?
Okay, so one that comes to my mind right away is Anya Taylor-Joy.
I can see
As
that.
a, if they do a new film where it's like a new babysitter and she's part of the cult, Anya Taylor-Joy would be a fun. As far as anyone else,
Now, I haven't seen a lot of Anya Taylor-Joy stuff. Has she been in much like comedic stuff like this?
Not really. Well, I guess the closest thing she's been in that's a horror comedy is The Menu, but that's not really
I just
funny,
yeah, I'm
ha
making
ha. That's
yeah,
like
yeah, that I'm like
with
I,
darker
I'm
humor.
trying to, I'm just trying to think of like how well she actually would fit into it, because I'm like I from what I know of her, I'm pretty sure she's known for like more serious stuff. So
Yeah.
I'm there. I wouldn't mind her being a part with her, but I was wondering how exactly she would fit.
She's a scream queen, and she hasn't really done much in comedic stuff. So I think that would be a fun, it'd be a fun way to see the actress, see her do a more comedic role in a horror comedy. I know we're never gonna see it. I would love Margot Robbie to be in the movie and have like her be a mom or some shit,
I could
and then make a joke or a comment on how her and Weaver
Yeah.
look similar.
I could actually see that
Weaving,
happening.
yeah, her and Weaving.
Happening. There's already been Sonic having a joke about how they look similar with or when as they appeared briefly together in the other in the Babylon movie.
They did?
Yeah. She.
Oh,
Yeah.
shit.
I think it was like I think Samara Weaving was playing like it was either a body double or it was a like replacement actress as for so to for context I the film Babylon is about old-timey Hollywood. So
Yeah.
Margot Robbie's character is an actress is and she was doing this film shoot and I think and it was either a body double for her being played by Samara Weaving or it was say that she was being fired or something and Samara Weaving a character was replacing her because they look similar.
That's great. That's
Yeah.
great. That's great that they lean into that.
But
That's what
I
I
could
would
see
like too.
I could definitely see a her being willing to join something like this. She seems to be very willing to do very wacky stuff of like that. I think that would be great to see.
Oh, most definitely.
I said I had said like Matthew Lillard playing the devil, but I wouldn't mind if they had a woman playing the devil. They could have Margot Robbie being the devil in it. That would be great.
Margot Robbie would be fantastic as the devil, or have Sigourney Weaver
I could see
have
that.
a very similar role to like how she was in the Cabin in the Woods, where she was the main villain behind the
I
scenes
could see
villain.
that.
I think that'd
Yeah.
be great, or like Jamie Lee Curtis or some famous scream queen from
Yeah. I think I would definitely rather Sigourney Weaver the
that's
or
true.
than
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis just because I don't like Jamie Lee Curtis. But yeah, I could definitely see them trying to bring some famous scream queen in as the devil for this franchise because I do think that would be a great thing to have in the third film of like of them maybe going actually down into hell for it.
Yes, I would love to see them go down to hell.
Though I think it what it would be interesting, but one of the fun things that you can do with having going down the hell is having characters appear that are dead.
Yeah.
But because this is a franchise where all the dead characters just already come back, it makes me wonder what could they actually do interesting with the setting of hell? Because that seems like the only really interesting thing that they would be able to do with it.
Make a Dante's Inferno scenario where they go through the different rings of hell
That can be interesting.
and they have to get to the center and they find and they find out, oh, there's no devil, it's just B. B's the devil. She overthrew the devil themselves and took their spot.
That'd
That'd
be
be great.
great. Oh yeah.
Just go through a whole epic journey of camp and chaos, going through the rings of hell of Dante style.
And in place of having just like having characters returning from films that are dead, they could have like I think it would be funny if they had like had just characters out of other franchises eyes pop up in hell like the like Death from the Bill and Ted movies could show up like that
Yes.
could be I think that would be a great way to have some cameos in there though he though I wouldn't have him just play the devil again. And I would probably have him like just being like a demon or something, but like you could have Tom Ellis pop up. Do you know who that is?
Tom Ellis,
Yeah.
refresh my memory.
He was the main actor in the Lucifer TV show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Like or and then just maybe have like Some random villains, villain characters pop up in Amit Hell, but over other franchises, and probably particularly things that all Netflix owns.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
You could have as a reference to the Wednesday show, they can have Uncle Fester being in hell.
Oh,
I think
that'd be
that would be
great.
great. Yeah.
That'd be great.
I feel like Fred Armisen, who plays Uncle Fester in that, would probably be down to do something like that.
Oh, yeah, no, most definitely.
Well, I don't think there's much else to talk about these films, so I'm
Yeah.
gonna start winding it down. Is there any last thing anything you'd like to say before I end this off?
First off, thank you for having me on an
You're
episode of your podcast. Love to
great.
talk about all things horror, especially the Babysitter franchise
Oh yeah.
series.
Oh yeah. And thank you for coming on, man.
Of course. And outside that, I mean, yeah, I'll give you a link that will be basically my link tree, and you could go listen
Oh.
to the House of Ideas as well as my other podcasts I do with a bunch of friends, do with a bunch of my friends as well. So if you're looking for something, a podcast on mythology, if you want to listen to a podcast on more horror films and genre of horror, I have one for that too called Spookocalypse. I have one on books called The Book Watchers. I have a plethora
Nice.
of shows I do with a bunch of friends, because one of my things I always told myself is I'm going to do a big project with a bunch of friends and like, cool. And then all my friends are like, cool, I want to do a show on this. Great, cool, we'll do it. And but now it's
Nice.
turned into like that. So, but you can see the link in the
All right.
description and stuff, and I'll take you to all everything that I'm part of. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Neonic Pumpkin, Neonic
Yeah.
Pumpkin on Twitter. If you want to follow me
Yeah.
directly, I post a lot of Marvel horror movie stuff. So just a
Yeah.
nerd.
Yeah. Just definitely check out all of Devin's podcasts. Check out his Twitter. It's a great time. Which I'll probably be coming on column on sometime. I'm
Of
for
course.
the House of Ideas.
Yep.
As we've already talked about doing one on the character of She-Hulk, so look out for
Yes.
that. And again, thank you for coming on. I loved having you on. It was great talking to you. And
Of
you're
course.
welcome to come on anytime again if you want, because I'm always willing to talk about just about any film. Though obviously I lean a lot more towards the fun and ridiculous ones,
Course.
but yeah, I'm usually not too picky. If you have any kind of film that you want to talk about, just shoot me a message, and I'll be happy to have you on talk about it.
Course, love to.
All right, so thank you everyone for listening. If you like this game analysis, please give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the episodes, so please let me know. And if you'd like to listen more from me, please subscribe. Many more game analysis from me coming, so keep on the lookout. This again is your host, Smash Trivia John, signing off.